You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Call me John Warren Buffett Jameson from now on, please.
I'm not going to do that.
Let's not do that.
No. John Buffet Jameson?
Ooh, that's good.
That I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, just call me Buffet from now on.
I'm shockingly okay with that.
Phoebe Buffet, I got it. Phoebe Buffet. All right, that is what you call you going for.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Well, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future. We are coming at you a little bit more devastated than we were last week, I would definitely say. I know I came out all positive last week, you know, trying to rally the troops and get things going in the right direction. And obviously that did not happen, as the Packers got absolutely whomped by the Washington Redskins. And again, as we always do, we're going to try and make sense of all this. And just really kind of dive in as to what the Packers have to do to kind of turn this season into hopefully something a little bit positive as it winds down. And joining me tonight, as always, Brian Fonfara. Brian, how are you doing tonight, bro?
You know, I'm surprisingly not devastated. I'm more numb at this point.
You're comfortably numb.
I'm comfortably numb. And, you know, I got to say, John, it's a little presumptuous of you. You always start the show by saying good evening. I feel like a lot of our listeners listen in the morning, afternoon.
I listen in the morning, and I'm always offended by the intro. So thank you, John.
Yeah. John never listens, so it really doesn't matter.
I like to give people, you know, when you read a book and you're like, all right, I can put myself in the scenario where they are. They're in a wooded... A wooded forest, because there's some forests that aren't wooded, and the moon is just creeping up over the top of the trees. So when I say good evening, it's like it's me putting them in my shoes. Like, it's evening where he is.
So our listeners are only listening in forests.
Wooded forest. Mind
that's
you.
Why our numbers are so low. Jeez, we gotta hit people in the cities, man.
We're taking it to the cities.
We need to take it to the streets.
We are taking it to the cities and the streets, as always. We do.
It's about to get real.
We do a lot. We do a lot for our listeners, and they do a lot in return for us. So, listeners,
for our listeners, the favor I just did for you is I got John off on a rabbit trail, and that kept you from hearing about Packers football for another 30 seconds. I saved your depression.
Getting me on a rabbit trail is like, all right, no bad puns, no bad analogies tonight. except there will only be 1,000. Hey. Dusty,
like that, a dog to water.
Let me shout at you for a second, hey. Dusty.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Dusty. How you doing, buddy?
I'm feeling a little under the weather. I've got a big Packers beer stein just filled to the brim with ginger ale. So I'm struggling through it. But in terms of football stuff, I'm doing all right. You know, I've kind of given up the season, but I adjusted expectations before this game. I wasn't expecting too much. You never like to see a team hang 40 on you. But I'm doing all right, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm surprisingly optimistic, or upbeat, or not devastated, I guess.
Good old 40 burger.
I love that, Dusty. And you know what? Like I said, I'm typically the person that's going to be just oozing confidence and optimism. This week is just a little rough for me, but I'm going to find that groove tonight because you guys are going to put me there by just talking some nice, solid talks about where the Packers are at right now. And hopefully some way we can find some peace in this madness.
Heal together.
So let's all heal together. Let's all heal together. Together we are one. Guys?
Yes.
Do you want to start the coin toss?
Let's do it.
Let's start the coin toss.
We got I would say a very, very nice coin toss segment coming for you guys. We're going to tackle some really hot topics. And Jordan is not with us, so Jordan is not feeling the best. So
he's got a
Jordan,
tummy
we wish
ache.
We wish you the speediest recovery. And I am going to refrain from saying anything negative about you because you're sick. So
I'm not.
Brian is not.
I'm not going to refrain.
Brian is not. So Brian,
just so we're clear,
Brian, you are fair game to attack Jordan as much as you want. So
lovely.
Because Jordan is not here, we have Brian and Dusty going head to head on three nice topics here. So the first question I'm going to ask you guys is there any reason to keep Jeff Janis after this season? So going to keep it nice and simple. Dusty, if I flip the coin and it is heads, you're going to tell me that there is a reason to keep Jeff Janis after the season. And it is tails. Dusty, Jeff Janis out the door.
I mean, we saw the kickoff this past week where he did not cover it and he played it horribly and then it ended up almost, it got recovered, didn't it? It got recovered by Washington?
I think Rich Rodgers. By the man, the myth, the legend, Richard Rodgers.
We started like the 2 instead of like the 15 or something, which is kind of a killer because of the state of the game. he's on the team for special teams prowess, obviously not return game. But as far as a gunner and stuff is why he's there. But there was always kind of this hope that his raw speed would turn into something. They'd be able to teach him how to run a route, which he's done a couple times this year. A couple times. He's a wide receiver, for God's sake. I'm praising him for running like 2 precise routes. Like, and I guess that's the problem, right? Like, we thought this speed would help the team. It opens stuff up underneath, and he can't see the field. I mean, some of that, there's frustration on some Packers fans' parts, mine included, in that you just thought, just get him out there, man. Just see what he can do. He's obviously not showing stuff in practice. He's shown enough. He dropped the deep. I'm not putting the deep ball on him too much, but he dropped that big deep ball. It happens, but we don't get a whole lot of chances. You got to capitalize on those. And he just hasn't shown that he's even close to a full-time playable guy. And if he's not contributing, he basically has to be just insane on special teams. And if he's making special teams mistakes as well, there's no reason to keep him around. So I was a Janis guy. They do need some speed, but they've got Trevor Davis. Montgomery's got a little pep in his step. If they draft someone in the draft that maybe has a little bit of speed to him, I'm all for that. But at this point, I can't see why Jeff Janis would be on the team next year.
All right, Brian?
I feel like I should exploit a loophole and just say, forget next year, we should cut him now, and just use that to trash Jeff Janis a little more. But I'll be civil. We cut him now, re-sign him in January. There you go. I really am running out of excuses here because it was, you know, him being the gunner, him being a return man, and he's been struggling with those as well. I'm intrigued to see what a coach, an offensive coach whose head isn't firmly planted up his rear end could do with somebody of his physical prowess, because he does have that speed. But honestly, the best argument I can come up for is the Packers are going to find a way to squeeze themselves into a wild card spot, and they're really going to need Jeff Janis on that fly route with 0 seconds left on the clock when they're down by 6 points. So, gotta save him for the Hail Mary come January.
Wow.
I mean, Brian, you made the most out of absolutely nothing. And for that, I'm going to give you a win.
He spent half his point talking about how he
could argue for creativity
alone.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. System's rigged.
I mean, but he made the most. He made the most.
I would argue that he did not.
Dusty, this is 2 weeks in a row you're combating me on my decision making.
You've become Jordan.
Just in time. Our next coin toss is should Brian have won the first coin toss?
You're gonna make me come to verbal fisticuffs
with
you.
I'm here for it,
yeah, I don't want to do that.
As soon as I can stand up sweating profusely, I'm in. I'm in, buddy.
That won't be anytime soon.
So if you just missed everything that happened, Dusty keeps trying to override my decisions, and Brian has won the first coin toss, and we are moving on to our next one, and this one is another dandy, and the question is as follows: if the defense continues to struggle, does Dom Capers keep his job? So Brian, if the coin is heads, you will be defending Dom Capers even if the defense continues to struggle.
Tails never fails.
And it is tails.
Oh, thank the Lord. Okay, Dom has got to go. Oh, really, I could just end my argument right there if I really wanted to, but... No, I'm sick of making excuses for the guy, and 1 year it's a lack of talent, and 1 year it's a lack of healthy players, and you know, injuries really have been a problem this year, but they were a problem in 2010 too, and that defense was elite. That was a top five defense, and they were just as injured then as they were now. What we saw last night, some of it can be attributed to not having Sam Shields to go one-on-one with Pierre Garçon down the middle. Sure, some of it can. But some of it is the schematic issues that we've seen for the past 7 years over and over and over. Not being able to stop a tight end, not being able to establish the middle of the field, not giving safety help over the top to third, fourth, and fifth string cornerbacks, blitzing both safeties on a crucial third down that caused linebacker Mike Thomas, who's really been struggling, to go one-on-one with speedy receiver Jamison Crowder. Just so many lapses in judgment on his part, and there are so many schematic issues that are so beyond fixing that he doesn't seem to want to fix, and for that reason he must go. I honestly don't even care. Dusty? If the defense turns it around a bit.
I mean, first of all, Dom Capers firmly believes that tight ends catching balls is just a form of witchcraft, so stopping them, like, he can't, if he even acknowledged they exist, it's technically against his religion. So like, Brian, you can't fault the man, his religious freedom there, buddy. So you just, you know, just calm down. I didn't know we're that kind of podcast. So there's two reasons, a couple of different reasons I could see Dom Capers sticking around. One is that unless you believe there's going to be a complete overhaul in the coaching staff and the front office in this offseason, which remains to be seen, Packers move relatively slow, so I don't necessarily see it. Unless you see a bunch of people getting out, even if Capers has a terrible season, he's not going anywhere. And we kind of talked about that in a prior week with the injuries. This year among all other years, you could just point to the injuries are just killing him. So you've got that to fall back on, whether that's correct or not. That's something you can point to. The other thing to look at is, so this year coming into this Eagles game, they're currently 28th in the league in points allowed, which is bad. I mean, you know, that's really, really bad. In 2013, they were 24th. And then in 2014, they were 13th. And 2015, they were 12th. Capers' system needs... He needs not necessarily like seasoned vets, but he needs guys that have been around for a while. It's a scheme, like a lot of complex terminology. There can be a lot of miscommunication with young guys, which is what Thompson hands him, says, hey, here's a whole bunch of rookies and a whole bunch of undrafted guys, go and win. And so you get these lulls in Capers' system where they have a really bad year. And then you get the guys like a few years in the system and they start coming around a little bit and they'll turn around. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back in 2017, which I think he should be. I think 2017 we'll see like a top 15 scoring defense again.
Well, Dusty absolutely brought the fire on that one. And Brian, you have definitely lost this one, and Dusty wins this one.
Definitely lost.
You know what, definitely, though? I'm going to take the opposite. I'm going to take the high road that Dusty refused to take, because that rant about Dom Capers felt so good that I don't even care about the point. Oh my goodness, to get that off my chest and for tens of people to hear about.
We save lives Whew. On this. We save lives on this podcast. That's what we do. We're like Baywatch meets 90210 meets the, I don't know. I thought I was not going to make analogies tonight.
I was unclear what you were going.
That's what I
told.
That's what I told myself. I wasn't going to make analogies tonight, and so far I think I made like a solid four completely terrible analogies. So
you're worse at analogies than John is at analogies.
Oh my gosh.
Zing.
I love getting zinged. It's awesome. It's like, come on, guys. Come on.
Please stop. Move on. Final coin toss. Please.
We have one more coin toss, and this one will be, deciding who wins the coin toss segment tonight. So guys, bring your A game. Not only for the bragging rights, but also do it for the benefit of our listeners. So, well, let's get into something maybe a little bit positive here, where you guys will actually be forced into talking about something positive, and that is who is going to have a bigger impact on this offense going forward, Christine Michael or Jared Cook? So let me think here. Dusty?
Yes.
If I flip the coin and it is tails, you are going to tell me that Jared Cook is going to have a bigger impact on this offense. So, and it is heads. So Dusty, Christine Michael is going to have a bigger impact on this offense going forward.
So when the Packers were looking good earlier this year, it was Lacy was in. I think they've had one 100 yard rushing game this entire year, and that was.
Can I interrupt you just to ask you when exactly the Packers looked really good this year?
They had a couple of games. I think his 100 yard game came against Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. How dare you? They have had at least three good halves over the course of this season, Brian. So if you compile it, if you just count
solid,
it
all, solid.
So where was I? Thanks, guys. They're going to need, as much as I love watching Rodgers air it out, it's clear that with their weapons, they don't really have the personnel to be able to air it out 60 times a game and win. As much as I would love to see that, they just don't have that. They have to have at least some semblance of a running threat, especially against, I mean, we saw it this past week against Washington. I think Washington was the 31st ranked run defense per Football Outsiders and top 10. I think they were 8th going into the game. I think they're 8th in pass defense. And so this was a game that if they pounded the ball a little bit, maybe they come out decently. And they could not do that. Ty Montgomery can run a little, but that was about it. They don't really have, like, Starks is kind of done. So a guy like Michael, and we're going into this week as well, the Eagles have, per Football Outsiders, the top-ranked pass defense and the 11th-ranked run defense. So this is a game that a run game could help them out quite a bit. As good as Rodgers is and as much as he has been improving, they need a run game. And a guy like Michael, a back like that, with the potential and what we've seen him do this year, finally kind of realizing some potential a little bit, I think this could be a huge addition for them going forward. I think it's going to be really, really big for their offense.
All right, Brian?
All right, here's why Jeff Janis is going to be the savior of this offense. No, Jared Cook, I really liked what I saw out of him. And honestly, I'll get my one negative out of the way. The biggest concern I have with Jared Cook is not Jared Cook. It's Mike McCarthy, and is he going to use him correctly? Is he going to use him to bust through the seam? Is he going to use him to stretch the defense? But he did last night. He was all over the place, catching deep balls, catching really difficult throws that were thrown low to avoid the secondary. He was good. And I was as happy as you can be during a blowout when Jared Cook caught that touchdown, because he, to that point, had probably been the best player outside of Aaron Rodgers, and he earned that touchdown. Let's just say that. But to see a tight end get 100-plus yards, I mean, he almost matched Richard Rodgers' production for the entire season in that one game. So just huge upgrade over what we have already in Richard Rodgers. I could go into a little rabbit trail about Justin Perillo being better than Richard Rodgers, but that's neither here nor there. Jared Cook is that athletic tight end that we've been missing since that one jerk, JerMichael Finley, who just won't shut up. But Jared Cook, he's got that size, he's got that speed, he's got that power that we've been lacking at the tight end position. And I don't know. The offense looked a lot better last night, at least in the second half, and I don't think it's any coincidence that that's when Jared Cook really shook off the rust, and he was part of it.
Oh, man.
And that is why Jeff Janis will be the savior of this offense.
That's good.
And that's almost... And now that I think about this question, we missed out on a big name, and that is Gripkowski, okay? Rip is going to save this season. I mean, did you see what he did to that linebacker?
He is violent.
Come on. Every time he touches the ball. Every time he touches the ball, he does that. It's insane.
I mean, the dude, his beard must like have some kind of like, I don't know, pre-workout in it or something that like just like gets absorbed into his body over time. And
his beard probably weighs as much as I do. Let's be honest.
So it's like his beard is like Jimi Hendrix's bandana with like the LSD, but like to make him big and strong.
Yeah. It's pre-workout. Okay. There's pre-workout in it. And I thought Brett Kiesel had a good beard until I saw Gripkowski.
The Ripa. What a lovely man.
I had to pick a winner, guys. And Dusty, I'm a little bit upset that you did not mention Gripkowski in your answer, but it was not enough to make you. It was not enough to make you lose this coin toss segment, Dusty.
Oh, it's all political.
Call yourself the winner
and dignity.
Call yourself the winner,
Brian. Suck it, Brian.
Suck it.
At least he's gonna win with grace, huh?
That's exactly. What
yeah,
I'm doing.
Always pep. That's why I picked Dusty. Typical. So you can pepper in the phrase "suck it." That is awesome.
Typical.
That is awesome. And what else is awesome? I don't know, maybe like a really awesome clothing line. Brian, talk to us about a really awesome clothing line.
I've actually heard of a really awesome clothing line. Yeah, you know, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. They're awesome. Sorry, you need more. They're super awesome. Especially in a season where the Packers are super not awesome, you want to be wearing the most awesome Packers gear possible so that you can still talk about the Packers in a positive light. Why not Pride and Glory Clothing? It's awesome. PrideandGlory63.com. They have super great t-shirts with super great designs on them, super great prices, and it's run by a super great guy. So buy yourself a super great t-shirt. PrideandGlory63.com.
I mean, regardless of how Packers seasons go, there's one thing that remains constant, and that's we always rep the Packers in our clothing. So please, go get a shirt. Go get a shirt.
Go get a shirt.
Now we will bring in our guest this week. We got John Borchard from Bleeding Green Nation, writes SB Nation type deal. It is an SB Nation deal, so I'm not even going to say type, because it is. John, how you doing tonight, sir?
Good. I'd like to say that this is, I think we broke a record here for a 45-minute hold for a guest, so thank you for that.
We just want you to get in tune with how we are, so that when you finally get to jump in on this, you just match the energy level, which is super great, right? Right? We're bringing it. We're bringing it. Obviously.
No, I love the coin toss. It's good stuff. No, I liked it. I might actually steal that from you guys. So there you go. Hey,
it is. I always say every week it's kind of a joke where I say it's our patented segment, but it actually isn't. So
I stole it from a soccer video channel. So
okay, we'll just keep on going, and then we can call it our own.
Let the good times roll, baby.
And, yeah, and John, just know that this will be the only time I ever say that it's not patented. So you got that information out of me, and you should feel really stoked. Stoked on yourself. So
I feel good.
John, why don't you go ahead and talk to us? Let's get into some Eagles talk real quick. And I guess the first thing I want to know is, how do you guys feel about your rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz?
Well, After this week, it's kind of amazing. And this is what we talked about at the podcast. And we're at bgnradio.com for all you Packer fans that want to have, an Eagles kind of perspective on this thing. But, between Football Outsiders, draft Twitter, Eagles fans, it's just this weird mix of, and Dak Prescott playing his ass off. There's kind of this weird just tension that is going on between, is he good, is he bad? Is he good, is he bad? Is the wide receivers, is it him? Ah! And there's like this screaming that's going on here. So I think for the most part that people just need to have a pretty good perspective on this thing. Carson Wentz looks really, really good. He's looked good throughout the, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season. I think he kind of shocked everybody after having one, or excuse me, not even one, but a quarter and a half of a preseason game versus the Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, like the third and fourth stringers and guys that are bagging groceries right now to starter. And it kind of went from that to, you know, wow, this kid can really play. And then I think along with Doug Peterson, everybody got tape on him. They kind of adjusted and then they realized, oh, we should probably stop blitzing these guys and play zone and then, you know, play press coverage and just, you know, cover the receivers and don't even blitz them because they can't get open. And that's been, I think, the struggle that's been happening now. And we've been, you know, Nelson Agholor, who has been it was a first round pick 2 years ago, is not, let's say, a friend of Philadelphia right now at this point. And it's just there's a lot of garbage time going on. There is a lot of the things that you're trying to get somebody that can catch a football in here. And I think from a lot of a national perspective, people look at Carson Wentz and go, oh, well, he's regressing back to the mean. He looks like a rookie. He's not as sharp. And this is why you don't declare guys franchise quarterbacks in the first 3 weeks of the season, which I agree with. But he has been playing worse, but he also has had, and I'm not kidding, no help offensively. Even last week against the Seahawks, running game got going, and then Darren Sproles out, Ryan Matthews out, almost simultaneously back-to-back. So he's hasn't looked like he's losing it mentally, so that's a great thing. And, you know, moving forward, as you probably already know this, as, you know, Green Bay's traveling into Philadelphia, they're a really good home team, at least they have been thus far, and that's when they're most comfortable. So I expect them to kind of bounce back against the Packers this week.
And we just obviously talked about the offense. What's going on the defensive side of the ball for Philadelphia right now?
The most consistent part, I guess, of the team, and obviously the numbers are going to tell you that too. And, you know, Football Outsiders, regardless of this record, is they're still number one in DVOA. I'm not sure if that's come out this week or not, but I'm sure they'll still be in the top five of that. You know, they've created a lot of turnovers and, hell, they played Fletcher Cox a bunch of money, some QB money who's been in there. He's had kind of an up and down season as far as that goes, and obviously sack numbers and things aren't there. But this has been a very awesome, you know, display of the four man front that's going on. And Brandon Graham, who's much maligned in this city as far as, you know, passing on Earl Thomas and that whole debate, has really come on this year, and you know, he's only making about $13 million guaranteed. So they're getting a lot out of him this year. The two safeties that came in, obviously Rodney McLeod was a free agent this year. He's looked phenomenal in pairing up with Malcolm Jenkins, who has already been playing well for the past couple of years here. You know, that's kind of their cornerstone. If you're going to attack this defense, it's definitely with the CBs, but Jim Schwartz has schemed that so it doesn't look as bad. As I'm sure you guys can relate to corners and secondary help, where sometimes you just want to lose your mind there. But overall, they're a team that is built to completely shut down the run and make you one-dimensional. They've been pretty successful doing that, especially at home against high-powered offenses like Pittsburgh and Atlanta. So it's just they can't really get it together on the road. They're only dominant for a quarter and a half or two quarters or three quarters or something, and the other time, the offense isn't really helping them out, but they are definitely keeping the Eagles in games, and they've won a couple for them.
And my fantasy team definitely reiterates everything you just said, because the Philly defense is crushing it for me right now. So
his now, fantasy last team that lost this week.
touchy subject. Now last question I'm going to ask you, and then go ahead and give me a final score prediction at the end of it. But what do the Eagles have to do to win this game on Sunday, John?
You know, it's pretty, I mean, honestly, it's just to make Aaron Rodgers uncomfortable. Unfortunately, and I don't mean any disrespect, I think that Doug Peterson has been able to scheme pretty well, even though that there hasn't been that great of a talent. And, you know, it's just not there for the Packers this year. So I think if you can just limit the damage with Aaron Rodgers, and I know that hasn't been consistent. I'm going to go a little off the track because I want to talk to Packers fans for a minute. I don't know the vibe in this that's going on in Green Bay, but nationally, I want to choke everybody when the situation comes up of what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers this year? What's going on? And he's on pace to throw 39 or 40 touchdowns with 11 interceptions. Yeah. And they're talking about he's not a leader in the locker room because of one tight end that is no longer in freaking football anymore.
And John, no, do you mind if I interrupt you to ask you real quick if you're looking for a new roommate?
there might be an opening. And I am just so perturbed by nobody pointing the finger at Mike McCarthy, who has lost you a chance to go to the Super Bowl along with winning one, who has coached terribly for the last couple of years. Like, it is pointing all in that direction. Wake up. Holy hell. Aaron Rodgers is fine. And if you guys want to swap quarterbacks, hey, I like Carson and I like that, but you go right ahead. You go right ahead. It's so hilarious to hear all that stuff because for the past couple of years, I mean, like in Philadelphia, Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, all these, you know, this is Nick Foles. You've gone through all these different stretches. And I just remember thinking, like, what would Aaron Rodgers look like, even in a Chip Kelly offense? Holy hell, would that be? Yeah. That would be like Madden. That would be phenomenal to watch. Unreal. And see. So anyway, that's my rant on that. But,
thank you.
Yeah, like I said, so they have to limit that damage there. I do think there's going to be some interesting matchups. And for Packers fans, you want to look at where Jalen Mills is coming in here. He's a seventh round cornerback that, played up and down. They took a big risk on him earlier in this offseason. And Eric Rowe, who's now in New England and not playing, so far so good with the trade. But, you know, he's a seventh rounder. They immediately put almost into a hybrid.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Hey, folks, this is Josh, the podcast editor at Pack to the Future. Unfortunately, we lost some of the guest audio this time around. I know we've had a few issues in the last few weeks, so thanks for bearing with us as we find new recording solutions going forward. You can find John Barchard at BleedingGreenNation.com and Sports Radio 94, WIP, in the Philadelphia area. If you want to listen to his expert analysis on the upcoming game, check John out at BGN Radio on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever podcasts are found. The episode of the breakdown of this upcoming game is entitled BGN Radio Bud Light Live Number 7, so go check that out for his expert analysis. And also make sure to give him a follow on Twitter. He's at John Barchard. And as always, thanks to John for being on the show this week.
And now moving forward with our coverage of the green and gold, Brian Fonfara will tell us what the Packers need to do to beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday.
So there are like 1,000 things that they've been doing wrong that they need to address before Monday night, but I tried to narrow it down to just a few. So they need to get back to that hurry-up offense way sooner in the game. You think back to that 2011 season where they set records on offense. You think back to the 2014 season where they were unstoppable on offense again. The things that they were doing were they were catching defenses off guard. They were going no huddle. They were hurrying things up. They were just playing at their own pace. They're not doing that anymore. They're doing this scripted offense that just doesn't work. And, you know, the theme this year being too little too late from this offense, they don't get going until they're down by 2 scores. They don't start playing until they're down by 2 scores. They don't start doing the offense that works until they're down 2 scores. Why not start off the game that way instead of run for 1 yard, pass incomplete, punt, rinse, repeat until you're down 14. And then you're suddenly relying so hard on your defense that has struggled all year long. Take some of the pressure off. Just play your game. You've completely gotten away from it in the past couple of years. Get back to it. This is a good defense you're up against. You have to mix it up, because if you don't get off to a good start and make that defense second guess themselves, you're done. That defense, especially at home, is really good. My next thing is safety help over the top. I mentioned this earlier, blitzing two safeties and putting a linebacker in single coverage against a really good and fast receiver is not going to win you a game, Mr. Dom Capers, and I know you're listening. And just listen.
He is. He told me.
I know you hear me, but listen. to quote my kindergarten teachers. Just, oh my goodness. As John said, the way you stop this team, you don't need to blitz them. You don't need to stop the run. You need to just cover the receivers. Cover those receivers. Have safety help over the top to go pick off those overthrows that Carson Wentz is eventually going to throw. That's when you can get these turnovers. This is the perfect opportunity against a young quarterback to just take away his receivers, make him force throws, and pick off those throws. This is your chance to turn this defensive season around, Dom Capers, and if you allow 30 or 40 points again, I know I don't run the Packers, but I wouldn't even let you on the plane to come back to Green Bay. I would mail you your stuff in a flat rate shipping box. Okay, so safety help over the top, just take away the receivers. And my last thing is not even a key, it's just another rant that I'm going to do. Enough with the excuses, enough with the injury excuses, enough with the wind excuses, enough telling us that, oh, we had a really good week of practice, enough telling me that the energy levels were good when they clearly weren't. I'm sick of it. You're clearly lying through your teeth to the media. I know you hate the media, Mike McCarthy. Just tell us one thing that's true. Just once. I would love to hear something true come out of his mouth. Just stop. Just address the problems. Every week you tell us things are going to be fixed. Every week you tell us that you know what the problems are. But every week the same problems show up. And I'm just done with it. Just stop with the crap. Stop with the excuses. Play some football.
Brian, I'm going to start charging you for therapy sessions.
This is my therapy session.
I'm going to start charging you for therapy sessions. Yeah, I mean, it's, but you know, actually this one's on the house. I'm going to give this one to you. I mean, four losses in a row.
Can we start charging when we have a new head coach, please?
Yes. Yes.
I think
that's
fair.
We can start that. Dusty, by the numbers, can we have some numbers, Dusty?
I can. So I looked at John kind of was talking about, say, the Eagles offense struggling a little bit. And based on what I said, so we look at the Packers and we see the Packers as a struggling offense. But really, just based on a lot of the numbers, the Packers are better across the board. They have more yards per play, the more points per play. The third down conversion is higher. Their red zone scoring is higher. Across the board in a lot of offensive stuff, the Packers are a better team. However, the Eagles are better, like, across the board defensively at all of those. This is the really insane stat to me. So the Eagles are currently scoring in the red zone touchdown scoring 50% of the time they're in the red zone, which isn't great. The Packers are allowing 63% of the time an opponent is in the red zone, they score a touchdown. That's insane. The third down conversion, 41% of the time the Packers give up a first down on third down. Philly currently averages on offense 35% of the time. So the Eagles are not a good offense, but the Packers are also just not a good defense right now. So we were joking about it with John. We may see some no-name guy just go off for like three touchdowns in this game. Like I'm real scared of it. Mm-hmm. But drilling down into the Eagles offense a little bit more. So we just give up consecutive 40-point games, which we know about. I don't need to talk about too much. And it was mostly through the pass, a lot of it through the pass. Washington has, per Football Outsiders DVOA, the 8th-ranked pass offense. Titans have the 6th. Right now, the Eagles have the 23rd. So it's a pretty big dip down. So we should be able to take advantage of that a little bit, hopefully. But again, our secondary just isn't very good. This is what really is going to kill us, I think. This is the story of the game, and this was the story partially of the Redskins game. Opposing defenses are only getting pressure on Carson Wentz on 15% of his dropbacks. That's 10th best in the league. So you can throw a lot of the offensive rankings out the window right now, because if Wentz has all day to throw, he will find someone open. And as we saw against Washington, as we've seen for a while so far this season, I think the first like five games they had a pretty good pass rush. But as we've seen for quite a while, the pass rush is non-existent. It doesn't matter what your options are. If you're going up against undrafted free agent corners and you have all the time in the world, like someone's going to get open. So they need to generate a pass rush. If they could get it with five guys, I'd be happy. I don't see it. The problem is that you bring too many more and it's a quick read out. But I don't know, man. Like if they don't generate pressure, and if they don't generate pressure early, if they can't show that they can, this is going to be a very, very long game, just like the Washington game was. One more thing to bring up. The Eagles have a lot of defensive penalties. 8 defensive pass interference calls, 7 unnecessary roughness penalties, and 6 offside. So the odds are high that we're going to get Green Bay's offense is going to get at least one drive either extended by a penalty or one big free play coming off of an offside penalty. They don't play overly disciplined when it comes to penalties on the defensive side of the ball. So that's something we can look forward to. I have one strange, odd little stat I'd like to throw out here to finish up. So Green Bay right now, we all know Aaron Rodgers has accounted for 100% of the Packers' touchdowns this year. Right now, the Packers passing touchdowns through the air 89% of the time. 89% of their touchdowns have come through the air. Last year, they were at 73%. That's a massive jump. They are far and away they're far and away the highest. Jacksonville's currently at 85, but then the number 3 team is the Saints with 76. So basically it's Green Bay and Jacksonville and then everyone else below that. Like that's
what wonderful company to be insane. In.
I know.
The best company.
No. 100% of their passing touchdowns at home have come through the air. It's bonkers. It's insane. All right, so my score prediction, I rambled for a while. I think the Packers are going to be able to put up some yards, get in the end zone a few times. I think the Eagles offense is going to struggle, especially if Matthews and Sproles are playing injured. I'm going to go ahead and give this one to the Packers. I'm going to say 24-17. Yeah.
I tried to whistle, but it didn't work. Dusty's had a great episode so far, guys. You will enjoy listening to this. And when I say this, and you get to this point, you'll be like, "Wow, Dusty has been on fire tonight." So, Dusty,
thanks, Sean.
Very good job.
Thank you.
And I like doing my final score prediction by just shouting a number at you guys. And I'm gonna go 23-20 Eagles. First time I've picked against the Packers all year, guys.
Are you kidding me? I was about to say that I forgot to put in a score prediction and it was going to be 23-20 Eagles. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I beat you to it. Pick a new one. Pick a new one.
I'm going to take 24-17 Eagles then.
Yes.
I got so caught up in my second rant of the episode.
I don't want to feel good.
Jeez.
Wait, Brian. How about this? Let's do a little swap live. We're doing it live right now.
Live swap.
I'm gonna go 23-20 Packers.
Fine, then I'll go 23-20 Eagles.
That was exciting.
Deal.
That was really exciting. Deal.
Man,
good job, guys.
I have to say, last week I said it was going to be 38-24 Redskins, and if the freaking Packers defense could have held them to just one field goal on any of those touchdown drives in the fourth quarter, I would have been dead on. This
but
one's
you
on
though,
you,
you
were, Dom Capers. This one's on
you
your
wrong,
head.
Have any of us gotten a correct score this year?
I don't think so.
I was like 1 point off 1 week. And I think that week you were the one that got it right. So we've had one correct and one point off in the same week.
Oh, guys. Thank you. Hey, I think we have some Twitter questions to get to.
I think we do.
And this is one of my favorite segments. So, Dusty, Go ahead and give us some Twitter questions, bud.
All right, so we got two, and they're both two-parters, which is exciting, so it's really like four. So this is pretty excited about this. The first one comes from Clint. He's at pack_rules with a Z, 1978.
They
Sounds
do.
Awesome.
Clint's, they do. Clint's awesome.
Clint's great.
The pack does rules.
Is Capers the proper fall guy, and if so, why hasn't he earned the latitude for injuries this year equal to 2010's praise? Brian, since you just yelled about Dom Capers for a while, and just Packers in general, do you want to start off this one?
I suppose. Look, you can't...
Therapy.
as much as he has grated on my nerves, you can't put everything on Dom Capers. You do have to give him a little leeway with all the injuries. And some of the blame has to go on Ted Thompson for convincing Dom Capers that the depth that he put in place was proper depth, and it just hasn't turned out to be. So there's plenty of blame to go along, but I mean, it seems like if you take away 2010 and 2015, like, we've been making excuses for Dom Capers every single year, and whether it be injuries or
Preach.
Anything else. I'm just sick of making excuses. I'm sick of hearing the excuses. I'm sick of hearing the different reasons for why he's failing. The fact is, he's failing. And, I don't know, there's plenty of blame to go around, but there's plenty of blame that you can give to him, too.
Yeah, I mean, I made a case for him earlier, but, I mean, it's hard to say that he's not the proper fall guy. I don't want to get into all the points per game numbers again, because I already kind of ran down some of those earlier. But, I mean, kind of what a lot of it comes down to is Capers has a system. He's been in the league for a long time. It works. He knows what he's doing. He's not overly flexible with it. And I think when you get a system like that and your pipeline is a draft and develop pipeline and you know what's going to be that case, if Capers isn't going to change, then either the drafting needs to change or the approach, I'm sorry. So like some free agents, maybe re-sign some guys, if something needs to change, and if it doesn't, then Capers just isn't the same guy there. And as far as why hasn't he earned the latitude for injuries this year as opposed to 2010, I mean, because he was hired in 2009. In 2009, mm-hmm. they were the seventh-ranked defense. In 2010, when they won the Super Bowl, they were the second. They've not cracked the top 10 since then.
Yeah.
And I mean, to Brian's point, that's kind of what it comes down to. Every year it's something else. Every year it's injuries, or, you know, this guy was going to take a big step forward and he didn't, or this guy missed, or like, it's every year it's new injuries. And look, man, I mean, the Fire Capers thing has been going on for a while, and I get it. It's frustrating. He's been better than I think a lot of people give him credit for, but it's been too long. It's too many excuses. And just this system, his system, I just don't think works with what the Packers do, and he's not going to change. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. So next one, second question, from Greg Baker. That's at Gregory Baker STL. I guess my question would be a two-parter. A, what can be done to turn this mess around? And B, what are the biggest draft needs? Brian?
Oh, well, first of all, if my memory serves, Greg Baker is one of those former Rams fans that switched allegiances after they left. I'm sorry if I've got that wrong, but I feel like I remember having conversations with him last offseason.
That would make sense with the STL on the end. Yeah.
So what can be done to turn this around? I mean, a lot of heads have to be removed from a lot of bums. I listened to the UK Packers podcast this week, and they pointed out something that I thought was really interesting, and it was, you know, when the team is struggling and there's criticism surrounding whether it be Rodgers or Capers or McCarthy, they get really defensive and they say, how dare you question us? Like, trust the process. And, you know, then they'll get a win, like against the Lions, where they had a really good first half. And they say, see, the offense is fine. There's never been a problem. We're great. You know, the level of ego that's going on in there, you know, you can't have it both ways. Like, you can't accept the praise and then demonize the criticism. You have to take both if you're going to be that kind of team. And so I think there's a lot of heads that need to be removed from bums. Biggest draft needs, where do we start? Tight end is a draft need. Defensive line is still a draft need. Linebacker is still a draft need. Secondary is still a draft need. Frickin' punter is a draft need, which is just a ridiculous phrase for somebody to say. Just, they're everywhere, and I honestly, I don't even know where to start at this point.
All right. I mean, you kind of covered turn this mess around, just removing heads from bums. I don't know if that's literal or figurative, but I'm here for it either way, buddy.
It's both.
Whatever they feel like doing. They do need to do something. They've shown, the offense has shown to be a little more flexible this year. They, or at least they're trying. I've mentioned this many times before, but a lot more bunch routes, a lot more motion. They're working a little harder to get some guys open. And it's just, to me, it seems too little too late. I mean, this should have been happening for a while, but at the very least should have happened last year when they were struggling. It's still hard for a lot of these young guys. We talked about Janice. I understand Janice not getting a choice, but or a chance, but like Trevor Davis has looked fine when he's out there, and Trevor Davis is barely sniffing the field. It's a lot of these coaches just seem very set in their ways, very set in a lot of things, and they either are unwilling to change or just don't feel like they need to, whether it's an ego thing or whatever. I'm not entirely sure, but I think there needs to be some different voices in there. Now, whether that's McCarthy and the entire staff, or you give McCarthy one more year and you say you got to hire a whole new staff, I don't know what the answer is, but some changes do need to be made. I think McCarthy needs to go at this point. But another thing is, trying to build a team through free agency is a loser's game, but you have to be able to supplement your team through free agency. And Thompson is very, very hesitant to do that. I mean, you've seen just with Cook, what Cook did just this past week. When's the last time we saw a tight end do something like that? It probably was JerMichael Finley. But like, you need to be able to supplement. You know, if you know you have massive gaping holes in your team, you need to be able to fill those in free agency. And Thompson doesn't want to do that. So you don't need to build a team of free agents, but you do need to dip into free agency a little bit more. So that needs to happen. I don't necessarily think Ted needs to be gone. But if he's still unwilling to do that, which I think he might be, well, something needs to be evaluated there. As far as biggest draft needs, I mean, Brian, you nailed it. Just there's so many holes. I'm going to go with the big one just because it seems like the glaring one over the past few weeks is just, man, pass rushers. Matthews Days may be done as an elite rusher. Perry might be gone, and if he's not, he's shown to be inconsistent, if nothing else. Fackrell looks like he may be okay, but he's at least a year or two away. Like, we need something, whether that's through the draft or we need, you know, maybe like a low-cost free agent option or something. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that seems to be the big one. A bad secondary can look a lot better with a good pass rush.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, I mean, all those years that Pittsburgh had that elite defense, they had Troy Polamalu, but nothing else special in that secondary, and it was all about stopping the run and getting to the quarterback.
I was thinking when John was talking about Schwartz those years when he was in Detroit. They had they had four guys up front, terrible secondary, and it didn't matter because they would just destroy your offensive line.
I mean, how quickly were they in Aaron Rodgers' face every time we would play them? He really struggled against that team.
They were up in his face, and they also had his cleats just on his arm every chance they got as well.
Right, it was fun
team. Missed those.
I'm gonna add one word as far as what the Packers need to do.
You have one
to turn
word
things around, and that's accountability.
Yeah. There's your word.
Yeah, that's it. And then pass rush. I'm with all you guys on all that too. I mean, you guys said everything that needed to be said, but I'm just gonna add that one word: accountability. We need accountability on the team. It's a team, and when you're in your own workplace and you're working amongst a team, you are held to standards, and there should be someone that's holding everyone accountable. And you're not seeing that with the Packers right now. So that's what I'll add, and I think that wraps up our Twitter questions.
It does.
So we're gonna flow right into our final thoughts. So Brian, go ahead and give us some final thoughts here.
All right, first final thought I give with a very heavy heart. Packers blogosphere lost a good one this week. Adam Cech did a lot of work with Cheesehead TV. He was a great guy, great Twitter personality. I know that for sure. He's survived by a beautiful wife and two lovely children. Died of cancer this week at only 34 years old. There is a GoFundMe out there to help support his family. It's been up for, 8 or 9 hours, and they're already up around $4,000 raised, which is awesome. Go support that family if you've got some extra funds out there. They're going through a really hard time right now. Can't even imagine. Other final thought on a lighter note, go check out the Sweep podcast this week. Huge interview as the Bloodline Fred Thurston got Jerry Kramer, who played with Fred's grandfather Fuzzy back in the '60s. Oh man, that's going to be a great interview. Go listen. You will not regret it. Tell your friends. Listen, that's all I've got to say. You can find me on Twitter at PTTF_Brian, and you can find the podcast and website Twitter at PTTF_podcast.
The Kramster.
The Kramster, which is the first time he has ever been called that.
Hopefully. I know. Well, we're on that nickname. We're on that nickname basis, and he calls me the buffet. So
there it is.
Yeah, we're all good. Dusty, give us some final thoughts.
I got a few. First of all, if you have not read Jerry Kramer's book, Instant Replay, it's dynamite. It's a diary of, I believe it was last year in Green Bay or second to last year in Green Bay. Fantastic read. A lot of fun. Kind of get inside the mind of a player during that time. It's really, really great read. So if you've not read that one, make sure to read that one. And then, like Brian said, listen to the Sweep. Okay. Second final thought. So it's not technically my final thought because I have another one. So one thing I love to do is, so I look at the ticket prices for the upcoming games, find the cheapest ones, and then rag on them for a while. Or say, wow, that looks like a good game. You should go buy tickets for that. So I had four I was going to talk about this week, but I'm really going to do down one because it's really, really, it's the lowest price I've seen, which is really saying something, and it looks like just a terrible game. So I'm very, very excited about this. Guys, you can see this weekend, you can go see the New York Giants come into Cleveland to face the Browns for $11. $11, what? You can go see this
$11.
Game.
$11. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. NFL football game.
It would legitimately cost me, like, it takes like 6 hours to get to Cleveland. Legitimately cost me more to get through, like, in gas to get to Cleveland. It would cost you about as much as for a beer at the game as it would to actually get you in.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
That's tremendous. And that game is going to be a tire fire. Like, I am so excited. I'm tempted to go.
It's dude, you should. You missed out on Packers Titans a couple weeks ago.
I did.
You should go to this one.
I really want to. Like, I think I've seen tickets like 19. I don't think I've ever seen them at 11. Like, that's a special kind of terrible, man.
And so, on top of $11 tickets, it's also dime beer night. So everyone go there and get hammered drunk and storm the field.
I think McCown is starting again as well, because I think Kessler got injured. So lovely. It's going to be a brutal, brutal game. I could not be more excited about it. Okay. Last final thought. I talked about this a little. I did a mini Twitter rant on my article this week. I'll probably do the same thing. But there's a lot of gloom and doom in Green Bay this year. Man, I get it. It's frustrating. We just watched them lose to the Redskins in terrible fashion, and that probably put the nail in their playoff coffin. They're a couple games out. I'd be very shocked if they don't go to the playoffs this year. And if they do, they can't really do anything. So, you know, other teams go through this all the time. I mean, I just talked about the Browns. Like, they're terrible, and they still have fans that come out every week. And it's tough, man. It's tough when you know your team is bad. It's tough when you assume they're going to lose. It's tough when you know they're not going to make the playoffs. But this is what I end up doing. I find something that gets me excited for every game. I mean, whether that's, I had to do this with the Tigers. My baseball team is the Tigers. I had to do that with them a few times as well. But man, we get to watch one of the best quarterbacks in the league on a week to week basis. Mm-hmm. Right? And he's going to do something at least once per game. That's ridiculous. He had that play this past week where he was grabbed by the face mask, was taken off his feet, somehow regained his footing, and then rifled a touchdown pass. Like, I've never seen that before. At least once a week, you're going to see something out of him.
Let me emphasize that play. He fixed his face mask mid-play and then threw the ball from mid-air. Unreal. Yeah.
Fixed his face mask, blew a kiss to Olivia, and then and then threw a dart.
But it was on a line in the back of the end zone. Like, unreal. You don't see guys do that. So, if nothing else, man, you know what? They can lose, but what I found is two things I've learned. You just take joy where you can get it, man. You find a play from the week before you can cling to, and you just think of that throughout the week. You find something to get you excited about the next week. You know you get to see Aaron Rodgers. You know you get to see Randall Cobb, some short area quickness. You get to see Jordy Nelson, who hasn't been 100%, but he still has tremendous body control and, like, best sideline awareness I've seen since Chris Carter. Like, you get to see all of these guys. And it's there's always something to get excited about. And the last thing I'll say is, if you know they're not going to make the playoffs, and if you've kind of checked out, use it as an opportunity to teach yourself a little bit about the game, man. Like,
there you go.
Sometimes the camera, it zooms in a little much. You can't really see the safety play, but you know, you can say like, well, how Spriggs looked over there on right guard. Like, just don't pay attention to the rest of the play, man. Like, just focus in on him. Mm-hmm. Look at the way the wide receivers get off the line. Look to see if there's an uncovered slot receiver. Just look to see, are they going to go to him? Is he going to cut in? Or is maybe that linebacker going to drop out a little to cut out that quick slant? Like, just use the opportunity when you know there's no pressure on them to win. Use that opportunity to just try to learn a little more. Just watch some guys, watch some stuff, pay attention to things you don't normally pay attention to. You learn a lot that way. And it's really, really hard when it's in the heat of the moment, you're in a playoff battle. But when you're not, you can really pay attention to those things without stressing yourself out too much. So that's what kind of gets me still excited for every single game. So just find your thing that gets you excited. Find your thing that makes you happy and wanting to watch the next game and excited that you watched the past game. And just cling to that. And just know that, you know, there's always going to be next season and maybe you've learned something in the process. So that's what I do. Kind of gets me looking forward to it. So just hopefully that'll help a little bit. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Thank you.
That was lovely.
I'm standing right now, too. Dusty just had the greatest podcast in the history of podcasts. Everyone, just stand up and give Dusty a round of applause. What a beautiful exit right there. And I'm gonna keep the positivity rolling as well. In my one final thought, and that is, I have been dealing with some severe back pain recently. And
that is positive.
This is going really well.
And I'm taking positive steps. I actually just went to the chiropractor for the first time in my life and did not know what to expect. Tonight, before I podcasted, I went to the chiropractor for my second visit, and I got to say that I think chiropractor is the way to go nowadays if you have back pain, and they're doing me up right, and I'm feeling a lot better than what I was, and I'm looking forward to seeing these way different treatments that I've gotten before in my whole entire life right here. So I know it's a little random, but it's what's going on in my life.
That's
right,
what
now.
Final thoughts so, are for
exactly. It's what's going on in my life. And you can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. And please, everyone, tune in this week for all the happenings at packtothefuture.com. Like I said, we got Jerry Kramer coming this week. That is huge. He is an awesome Packers legend. And make sure you tune in for that. And always, always, always come back and listen to us next week. Tell your friend about us. And if your friend tells another friend, before we know it, we're going to have so many friends, and we're all just going to get to know each other. So, guys, go in peace this week. Stay positive. Have a wonderful, beautiful Thanksgiving. Stuff your faces. What a great week to just be able to stuff your face with food and forget about what's going on in Packerland. And just say, be thankful for everything you have in life, and extend a thankful attitude towards everyone you come in contact this week. We love all of you, and stay classy. Adios. We are Pack to the Future.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.